More, Babs Rose Ivy. Good morning. I am Babs Rose Ivy. This is Love Babs Love Talk. That's Harry Droz. It is Tuesday. It's Tuesday and it's Giving Tuesday. So Freed Woman Fund, Elm City Lit Fest, Long Wharf Theater, Planned Parenthood of Southern New England, Common Ground School, and Arts Council. Those are the ones I need you to give to.
Well, and, you left one off.
And New Haven Independent Journalism Project.
Well, you left GoFundMe/Harry Droz. Fund my retirement.
Yes, fund my retirement. Listen, I need it because I don't know what I'm going to do. So, good morning, Harry. I tagged you with something that I thought was very interesting. You know, they've created a living robot that can procreate.
What?
I tagged you on Facebook. Harry, then I messed around and took some frog brain thing and put it to technology and created some kind of life form that's a robot that can procreate.
That doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound good.
Harry, I know how it sounds.
I'm trying to find a background where I'm not disappearing here. This is good.
All right. I know it doesn't sound good, Harry, but I'm just saying. Yes, the world's first living robot can now reproduce. This is from CNN, Harry. What? Yes.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if this ain't Skynet in the making, Harry, this is gonna be problematic in about 20 years.
Wow. Wow. So it's gonna have baby robots or cyborgs?
It's called the U.S. scientists who created the first living robots say the life forms known as xenobots can now reproduce in a way not seen in plants and animals. So I don't know what that means, Harry. Formed from the stem cells of the African clawed frog, Xenopus larvis, from which it takes its name, xenobots are less than a millimeter wide. So that's 0.04 inches. The tiny blobs were first unveiled in 2020 after experiments show that they could move, work together in groups, and self-heal. Now the scientists that developed them are at the University of Vermont, Tufts University, Harvard University, Weiss Institute, for biologically inspired engineering.
Okay, so they're using frog DNA?
Well, they're using something.
You know,
yeah,
that,
well,
that's...
frogs have a way of reproducing that normally that they normally use, but when you liberate the cells from the rest of the embryo, you give them a chance to figure out how to be in a new environment. Not only do they figure out a new way to move, Harry, but they also figure out apparently a new way to reproduce. To me, this sounds like at some point we're not going to be able to control this.
Well, that sounds like the plot from Jurassic Park, the first one. Yeah. Right? Because they said all we produce here are females, so they'll never be able to reproduce. And when you use frog DNA, African frog DNA, they don't need a male to reproduce. So,
well, to make these xenobots, the researchers scraped living stem cells from frog embryos and left them to incubate. There's no manipulation of genes involved. Most people think of robots as made of metals and ceramics, but it's not so much what a robot is made from, but what it does, which is an act on its own on behalf of people. This is going to be a problem.
What's this going to be a problem?
This is going to be a problem, Harry.
Of course, there's going to be raptors running around who are able to talk.
and build stuff and kill yeah. you.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, oh, my
God. Oh, my God. And somebody, I mean, listen, I'm for science, Harry. I'm for technology. I'm for all of this. But I've seen enough movies. The Marvel Universe has shown me when these kinds of things fall into the wrong hands. Because I'm sure the people that are working on this, Harry, are not thinking world domination and using this for some kind of weapon. They're thinking, let's further science. Let's see if we could cure stuff.
Well, but here's the problem, right? Because that's what happened with splitting the atom. And then we got the nuclear bomb. Right? So, innovation is great. Innovation is great, right? We're right now. We're basically broadcasting from different parts of the state, but we're in the same room and we still, so innovation is great, except when you're innovating with dangerous things, right?
So guess who's funding this, Harry? Let me tell you who's funding this?
Don't tell me it's Elon Musk.
The research is partially funded by Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, a federal agency that oversees the development of technology for military use.
Oh, of course.
Where's the music? We need some music. We need that music. We need that organ music. Yeah.
Of course. There you go. Because we can never leave well enough alone.
Yes.
Right?
So I would say partially funded by them and maybe Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. My money is on Jeff Bezos.
More Jeff Bezos. I would say that's why Elon Musk is looking to colonize Mars, because he knows we're going to have monsters here.
No. He's going to colonize for his people, that 1%. We are not going to Mars.
Well, I know.
Unless we are working on Mars. See, Harry, all these movies that we've watched, I'm telling you, this is like Terminator meets Jurassic Park. That's the mashup. And then you throw in a King Kong movie. There you go. This is your monster movie in the making. Your monster reality in the making. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I just hate when I know this stuff. I don't like knowing this stuff.
It's just crazy. I'm reading it here.
And here's your question. What could go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong, right? And they're tiny robots that can reproduce.
That can reproduce and can think and get in groups and do stuff.
And reproduce and tiny until they, they fall into an ocean or, you feed them after midnight.
All right, we can't even control 2-year-old toddlers. Listen.
It's nuts.
This is our new world, our new word, boys and girls. World domination. Extinction of the humans. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it's like that with everything, right? Like we have 5G on our phone, right? So our phones are faster and all of this stuff. But all of this comes from, the military experimenting with frequencies and waves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They experiment which frequency could destroy a human being. And then they go, ooh, wow. But in this frequency, we could send data. And it only messes with about 2% of the population.
Yeah.
Score.
All right. That's for science. All for science. I'm just saying,
I do like a fast internet. That's the problem.
At the expense of humans, yes, I want it faster.
That's always the problem. It's like I'm against slave labor, but I do like my cheap TVs,
And therein, my friend, is the rub.
I think that's, I was going to say, I think it's unique to Americans.
Nope.
But probably not. But we do have a good sense of selfishness.
Yeah.
That,
we don't give a damn about people working in fields and not having health care and their kids not getting any education and no decent housing. Oh no, we don't care about that. Yeah, what we care about is a very cheap television.
Yeah, or our phones, right? We don't care that at the Apple factories in China, they have the highest suicide rate.
Yes.
Right? Because they have to actually live in the plant. Right? So, so it's like never being able to leave work.
Well, you know, it's housing.
So we don't care. I mean, we want our iPhones, and we want them less than $1,500. So
yes, and we don't want to know about, you know, how they rob Africa of its natural resources and send children to get these resources in dangerous conditions. We don't care.
See, you always
have, I have 5G.
Yeah, but you see, you have to you have to kind of justify it in different ways. You go, okay. The minerals, the material, and everything needed for an iPhone, yeah, it comes from the coal, the mines of Africa, and yeah, we have, you know, 10-year-old Africans going down there and killing them, but Africa has roads now. See, you always forget the justification.
Look,
but they got roads,
some roads, and maybe a couple of schools.
That's right. Some schools and some internet. There you go.
Yeah, a little Wi-Fi. Internet. Maybe some electricity in some of the villages. All right. Okay, Harry. Yeah, you know, I'm sold.
A good
give
portion
me my
of
new
them,
iPhone.
A good portion of them has to suffer, but, you know.
Well, you know, what's... I mean, listen, progress is progress. You cannot stand in the way of it.
Especially, you know, if it's progress for us, right? So
yeah, you know,
we're moving forward.
The regular idiots on the village square.
Yeah, I mean,
who only use their phone to surf the Kardashians?
Yeah, I mean,
no shade to the Kardashians. No shade to them.
Like you saw there's a story yesterday about Disney Plus deleting an episode of I think The Simpsons. Because the Simpsons were dealing with when the Chinese kill people on Tiananmen Square.
So they found that to be harsh?
So China told them, delete it. Oh, you can't play the Simpsons over here. You know, we'll delete it for you over here. So Disney Plus said, delete. Money is more important than the truth. Delete.
Of course.
And that's how we roll here in America.
That's how we roll. That's how we roll, Harry.
That's
the truth. So I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing about baseball. What is it? What's that? What was that? What was the little ad for Chevrolet? Baseball, apple pie, something, something, Chevrolet. Remember that commercial, Harry? I think it was baseball, dun-dun-dun-dun, apple pie and Chevrolet. Something
oh
like
yeah, you're talking about that.
Remember that? The American way.
Yeah, the American way. But yeah, you know,
America for whom and a way for who?
But you know, to be honest, I mean, it's not like we don't hit the delete button on our history, right?
Well, for the last 400 years.
to be fully transparent here.
Yes, my favorite meme, Harry, is. The people who threw rocks at Ruby Bridges don't want their grandchildren knowing that they threw rocks at Ruby Bridges.
That's it. I mean, you gotta delete.
That's pretty much what it is. Ignorance is attractive and ignorance is bliss.
Yes, ignorance is bliss.
For lots of people. Well, that's why The Matrix is such a telling story.
I mean, I'm jealous of the ignorant at times. I mean, to be able to live and not think is.
I wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah, but it's.
I couldn't.
It's bliss.
You know, the Matrix revolution. What is it? Revolution? What is it? Reincarnation? What is it? Matrix?
They have a lot of them. I think there's another one coming out.
Yeah, that's with Keanu Reeves, who should be. The sexiest man alive. Harry, he's so talented.
I can't.
He is so unbelievably talented.
Really?
Yes.
He looks like a beach bum.
What? He is sexy.
He looks like he belongs on a beach always. Yeah,
and me right
on
next
a surfboard.
To him.
On a surfboard.
Well, I don't want to be on a surfboard, but I'd be on the sand.
You'll be waiting for him.
I'll be waiting with a towel. Hey, honey. I think I do have a type, and my type is fine. I like fine men. I don't care what the packaging is. Like, I don't care, Harry, about, you know, if they're whatever they are. If they are fine, they are fine. I don't care if they're black, white, Asian, green, blue. I don't care. If a man is good looking, he is good looking. That's just it.
See, I never look at things that way. I never look at women that way.
No, not J-Lo.
No, I...
Oh, you just admire her talent.
Yes, I search for their talent.
Yes, yes. Because you are good like that, Harry.
J-Lo, like that. Beyonce.
Janet, Beyonce. These talented, talented women.
Very talented.
And damn anybody who objectifies them.
That's right. I mean, their talent is exceptional. Rihanna. Oh, how talented is Rihanna?
Wait, I'm sorry. What was that? What was that description?
You said her talents.
Where is that in a dictionary under her?
I don't know. What was that? An adjective?
I don't know. I'm asking you, Harry. You were like, whoo. I'm like, okay. Emphasis for the talent.
That's right.
I feel you, Harry. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. Anyway. So, yeah. So, Matrix, whatever it is, Resurrection, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could tolerate it. I don't know if I could see this. But I like Keanu Reeves.
The only good Matrix movie was the first one. After that, it was just...
Matrix Resurrection.
Yeah, they took you behind the curtains of the Matrix, and it's like... No,
I don't know where they take you now, this one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just too much.
Is Lawrence Fishburne in this one? I don't think so.
I doubt it. I think he died in... Was it the second
one? Okay. He might have. Okay. Okay. I could tell he was in it. So Keanu Reeves. Oh, the Chopra woman is in it. The Priyanka. You know, she's married to somebody. One of the boy bands. Carrie Ann Moss, who was Trinity. She's coming back. They got another guy, Yaha Abdul-Mateen. Oh, he's Morpheus. He's going to be Morpheus.
Oh, he's Morpheus now?
Yeah.
So what, they're going back in time?
I don't know what they... I mean,
they're just replacing Morpheus.
I think they replace... Listen, Lawrence Fishburne is like, I'm doing Blackish. And I don't got to lose no weight and put on a tight-ass outfit. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm good. You know, I appreciate you, Keanu, calling me and asking me.
Yeah, it's the Jonas brother kid.
Yes, yes, Jonas, one of them.
Nick Jonas.
Nick Jonas, his wife is in it. Jessica Henwick, Neil Patrick Harris is in it, and Daniel Bernhardt. Okay, so they got some people's.
I heard he had a new show that was going through the cancel thing because he had something.
Who, Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah, he has a new show. And I think they were... I think one of the actresses who was playing his nanny...
Oh, yeah, he did some stereotypical Latina housekeeper mess.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes it's funny. I mean...
Yeah, but Harry, sometimes it's not. No, I don't think she took issue with her being a housekeeper. She took issue with the way they were portraying her as a housekeeper. You know how they do, Harry. Talk a little more Spanish. Sound like you from somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like ese. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like when they hire black actors, Harry, and they say, you know. Sound black. I ain't be got no weapons. You know, oh, yeah. You know, my stupid behind, I'd be like, yes, Master, what does you need, Master? I'll get it, Master. What, Master? I serve you, Master. And then I'd be like, Babs, you are fired. I was like, well, which black do you mean? Pre-Reconstruction or post-Reconstruction? His God is my witness. Lord. Because God forbid you just show up speaking.
No, you know.
You're a little blacker, Harry.
That's
a little more Puerto Rican-ish.
There's only one, you know, stereotypical black these days, right? It's gangster rap.
Gangster.
You got to finish right there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, boy.
Oh, the long-suffering mother. Oh, I've worked so hard. Yeah. I'm tired. Oh, my Lord. I just try to do the right thing.
Oh, my God. That's, you know, for a while there was that because everybody was doing Mrs. Evans from the
Good Times.
Good Times. And everybody
she was tired of it. She was like, you know, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, people. This is not how we talk. This is not how black people talk, not even in the projects.
What's the actress' name? I forgot her name.
Oh, Esther Rowe.
Oh, my God. There you go. Jeez.
She's a Yale drama school trained actress. And they wanted her to shuffle and jive.
Well, yeah, that was... Yeah.
All of them. That's why John Amos left, because he was like, I've had enough of this. And, you know, JJ, Kid Dynamite! I was like, okay, all right.
And we watched
because that was the only thing that was on, and we were fascinated by it.
You know, JJ, or I forgot his name too.
Jimmy Walker.
He has a Medicare commercial now.
Oh, I know. It drives me nuts. And, you know, Harry, when I watched it, I sat through it deliberately. I was like, if this MF says Dynamite, I'm... throwing that TV out the window.
And of course, he finishes it with Dynamite.
He does it. I was like, listen, if it works, you know what? I ain't mad at nobody's hustle. Because he made some good money doing that.
Look, those were my favorite shows, you know. So it's hard not to see them in those characters.
Those were some good-ass shows, Harry. I don't care what nobody said.
I mean,
when you watch Janet Jackson get burned by...
Oh, my God. You know what's funny?
That was drama TV, buddy. Let me tell you.
The actor, Michael.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's his name either.
I used to know his name.
He used to have a girlfriend in my project. So I used to bump into him in the elevator. And I used to ask him, what are you doing here?
He's like, I'm seeing somebody.
I'm like, it's dangerous around here. What's wrong with you? He goes, nobody recognizes
me. With Michael Evans.
Well, he said, nobody recognized me. I said, I recognize you right now.
Like, you know, I see you, right? Ralph Carter.
Yeah, he was crazy. He had a girl in my project.
Wow. Yeah, I think some of them have passed on. So many of them have passed on. You know. Oh my goodness. Well, those were the shows. But anyway, yeah. And you know, Harry, I still hear actors say when they go read for parts, people, you know, writers will say or producers will say, can you just be a little blacker? And, you know, I would just sit there and be like, could you give me an example of blacker?
Black it up.
I'd be like, could you give me an example? You jive turkey.
All the stereotypes. Geez, what was the guy on Beretta? The guy on Beretta.
Huggy Bear?
Oh, my God. That's like the classic stereotype.
Oh, and my God.
You know, the funny thing is that when these shows became, you know, huge, then it was like every actor had to try to do those little parts.
And you know, Harry, Huggy Bear was a pimp. Do you understand?
But he was a cool pimp, man.
He was a pimp. He was a pimp with a heart of gold.
He was cool.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, they showed you occupations, you know, that only people in the ghetto could glorify, you know.
Yeah, well, like, yeah. Because I'm sure there are white pimps. Are there any Jewish pimps? I have to ask Paul. Any Jewish pimps?
I'm sure you know, that and, you know, who he's pimping on with some of the oldest professions, Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear. Listen. He was a pimp with a heart of gold. You never saw him beat up anybody, Harry. You never saw, he's just always flamboyantly dressed. And he had wisdom.
Yeah, well, right?
He was always wise, you know, giving you the DL, the, you know, dropping a dime on somebody. Listen, I saw that cat up on 128th Street. He was rocking with, right?
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
They went from showing indigenous people putting their ears on the ground to Huggy Bear knowing what's going on the streets.
And you know, Harry, they would, and there's this movement, they want to bring back these shows, and I'm like, why do you want to bring, I think those shows should stay where they are,
just replay them
for that time. I don't think they need to remake these shows because the language and all, it would just be too stereotypical. And we've progressed. I mean, Ava DuVernay has given us Queen Sugar. I mean, we've come so much further than I Ain't Got No Weapons.
Oh, you know, I've been watching the show Our Kind of People.
I have it all taped. I haven't watched. I've watched the first two or three episodes.
I mean this, you know, in a good way, but oh my God, is Yaya talented? Oh my.
Oh, you mean Yaya Da Costa? That's what you mean?
Yeah. Her talents are.
Who else is talented?
I mean, let me tell you, they're all talented on that show. I gotta say, even the men are talented on that show.
They are,
but it's a good show. It's not.
I mean, I'm
just
a fan of Joe Morton, but I think he's wearing out this Papa Pope thing a lot. Like, you know, all his characters are Papa Pope. Like, come on.
But yeah, it's a good looking cast. But it's not just that. It's actually a good show. I'm enjoying it.
Are you? I have it all taped.
I guess I think I'm enjoying it because of the show.
I'm sure you are, Harry.
I can't tell you the storyline, but
like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're doing, but it's a good show.
It's a really good show.
Well, I'm enjoying it very much, and that Mr. Costa is so talented. Just saying. Well,
yeah, but it's on the chopping block already, by the way.
I think so. Well, you know what, Harry, it's we've already blown past that kind of drama. You know, we've already seen that kind of drama. So you need to come with something much more well-rounded and elevated. We've had enough of that, you know. You're my father.
I know we were thinking the same thing with, oh, she has a secret. Oh, they, you know, but
oh my God,
we gave it a chance anyway, because
I know I did too. I'm taping it. Have you watched the Queen Latifah and the Equalizer? I do dig her in that role.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't feeling it in the beginning, but yeah, I'm all in now.
I like it.
Me too.
I like it very much. I like it. I was like, go ahead, Queen Latifah.
I like the girl, the young lady that plays her daughter.
Daughter, yeah. Although I need them to, yeah. No, I like it. I like it. It's a good show, you know. You know what I watched last night, which I had no idea they remade it. The 4400. Remember the 4400?
Oh, I know. I haven't looked at it. It started already, right?
Yeah, this new one. This is a reboot.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of black people in it. So I was watching it last night, and I didn't know what the hell I was watching. I was like, what the hell is this? So I went and looked. I said, the 4400. I was like, this doesn't look like the 4400. So I went and I looked it up, and they're like, this is the reboot. So this is like, I think this was like episode 5 or 6 that I watched last night. So
and it's good.
You know, it's very interesting. I mean, it's very interesting. I think I read something that they were hoping that more people would watch it. But I think they got to tell people that it's on. I didn't see anything about this reboot.
Because they had a pretty good cast the first time around.
Yeah.
So
I think Mahershala Ali was in that cast.
Yeah, he was one of the.
I mean, it was a bunch of people in that cast, right?
Yep. So it was pretty good. So I don't know. I got to check it out because I did enjoy the show. Is it a reboot of the same show or they?
Yeah, no, it's a reboot of the same show. The same concept. 4,400 people throughout history are snatched, and then they all sort of come back, and they don't know where they were, or, you know. And then, but they all have some kind of power. And so, you know, the government snatches some, you know, they want to run experiment, you know, that whole story, you know, how can we use these people to make better weapons? You know, that's always, you know, how can we use these powers for bad?
Always.
You know,
how could we weaponize cereal? That's everything. Yeah. Right?
Hey, Barbados cuts ties with the Queen and becomes a republic.
Oh, I know. Barbados. I saw that.
And got a black woman running it. Well, they should.
I saw that. And they said there's about another 16 looking to do the same.
Islands?
Cutting their ties with the Queen. Because she still sits as the leader.
Yeah,
all
that stolen land is vast. that colonialization is wide and far.
It is, really.
So I listen.
And the funny thing is that it's almost. I was looking at a little. They were giving the history of Barbados and stuff, and I was. It's almost listening to the same story as Puerto Rico. It happens everywhere. They just came in and they stole everything.
Well, yeah.
Took their wealth.
Well, yeah.
Everything.
That's how colonization works.
I know.
You know. Go ahead, Barbados. I've been to Barbados. It's very beautiful.
About time. Everybody should cut ties. Completely.
Well, you know, you got to get in a good financial situation.
Yeah.
You know, because these countries, I mean, you don't do what Haiti did. You know, Haiti got its freedom and then ended up having to pay France for its freedom. They just finished paying, like, I don't know, years ago.
I thought they were still paying.
Oh, I thought they were done. How are you going to pay something for 400 years?
It's insane. It's insane.
Records don't get lost. Okay. And you still owe us for your freedom.
And the thing is that, come on, I mean, what year are we in?
France ought to give that money back and stop.
That's what
playing.
I was going to say. Don't you give that money back?
Give that money back to that country so they can do what they need to do. Why are you taking that money, France? I don't want to talk too much junk because I want them to let me back in.
Be careful. France has a deal with Russia.
I don't want to be getting off the plane, Harry, going to the airport and be like, are you Babs Earls Ivy?
that's true. You go over there.
Then it's like,
you gotta be careful.
We're gonna need you to come with us. as long as I don't drink anything, Harry, I'm good.
They ain't never gonna catch me. I ain't going.
Harry, you know them Russians know how to get to you. Well, they know how they do.
I know. Talk about weaponizing cereal. I think Russia solved
that. Oh, they would poison your cereal. You won't even know it. They'll put the right cereal on the right shelf in the right grocery store, knowing you're going to get it. Nobody else will get it. You'll get it. You'd be like, damn. And then everybody here will be trying to figure out, what happened?
I know.
I won't know.
Everybody pours themselves a cup, and you're the only one who dies.
I was like, check the cereal. That's a whole movie, Harry. I got to run through the whole movie telling people, check the cereal. Check the cereal. And they were like, Babs, get out of here. We don't believe you. No, no. Check the cereal. See, that would be the Lifetime movie right there. Check the cereal. No, I think we go better than Lifetime. We could be on Hulu or Netflix. We could take this to Netflix. I spend the whole movie running, trying to get people to test the cereal.
You know, I got a message yesterday from somebody who told me, you know, your morning friend is really cool.
Who?
And I was thinking to myself, my morning friend?
Who are they talking about? Me?
They're talking about you. But it took me a second. I'm like, my morning friend? My
morning friend, like, Karen?
I'm like, I wake up with Karen.
Wake up. Where am I? Oh, my job.
I'm like, I say, you know she's cool. You're watching her for 2 hours. You're
and just cool. Like that, I'm thrown under the bus. Beep, beep. Harry's like the damn road runner, and I'm the coyote.
And sometimes I got to back up.
And sometimes he just drops that Acme anvil on my head.
I didn't say you weren't cool. I'm just saying.
How do you know she's cool?
How do you know? I mean.
All right. Harry, I would have just left it there.
I know, but you don't know if I'm cool by watching this.
They think you're already cool. That's why they said, oh, and your little morning friend.
Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe I would have taken it better if they would have said, you and your friend are cool.
Oh, they never said. They didn't say you were cool.
But the problem is that they know me. So it's like, no,
you're cool. No, Harry, you ain't cool. I'm here to tell you. Oh, my God. We are so silly. We have Anru at 10:15. So, you know, Anru's going to bring us the woosah, bring us back down to reality, get our orishas aligned, you know, and get us to a place of spiritual grounding, which we could use right about now because we are foolish. Foolish.
Now I'm looking at the studio camera. And that looks like a sombrero spinning over my head.
Oh, I know it does. It doesn't. I mean, I knew like it was a spaceship, but I wasn't quite sure. I was like,
Right into the stereotype. Not that I'm Mexican, but you know, we're all Mexicans.
You see,
people can't tell the difference. So yeah, we're all Mexicans.
You see. Oh my God. I need a bandana. Whew, gosh. You know what? I've just had enough.
That looks a lot more like a spaceship.
Okay, Harry. You know what? You can mess with these aliens if you want to. They're going to actually roll out and get you. I'm like, you know what, Harry? I'm not messing with you.
Well, Bab, are you ready to lock down again? Omicron or whatever is this called? Omicron, is it?
Yeah.
The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, right? Everybody's like, Joe Biden's shutting down travel to Africa.
I watched the folks in Africa, the sister talk in Africa on the BBC, and she was like, that's racist. She's like, why are you shutting down Africa, but you're not shutting down the other places where other places are not getting shut down? Why are you boycotting Africa?
Well, here's my thing, right? How about because most of the countries are, well, except for South America and Africa,
Black people.
They're 70% vaccinated, 60 to 70% vaccinated, and Africa is at 30% vaccinated.
And you know why it's at 30%? Because they're not giving them the vaccine.
Well, this is what I was, right, that's where I was going. I'm like, okay, instead of shutting Africa down,
give them the vaccine.
Give them the vaccine. How about we, you know, get together if we have to send our troops in a peaceful manner to give
the vaccine? Troops in peaceful does not work.
You know, it's
not with not with colonial mess.
Well, we got to do something, but
I know
30%.
They got to sin.
It's going to keep happening.
So I listened to the sister speak on BBC, and she said Ghana bought 3 million vaccines or however many at $29 a vaccine. And you know what happened, Harry? The people that make the vaccine took money from somebody else and said to Ghana, "Oh, I got a higher price." Now that should be wrong. They shouldn't be doing that. I don't like the fact that they're profiting off these. That alone drives me nuts because we're never going to be over. We're never going to listen. If there's nobody left to buy anything, Harry, there'll be nobody left to buy anything. Uh-oh. All right. Let me give you my Greek alphabet song. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta. Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Xi. What you say? Nu, Xi, Omicron, Pi, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega.
Sorry about that.
I'm just doing the Greek alphabet as I know it.
No, so the thing is that we can't just ignore the fact. And then, by the way, really, we can't send vaccine to Africa? I mean, we can't do it? We have, right now, we have
Tons of it. That's just vaccine. One or two Rite Aid stores just shipping it. Come on. Yeah,
you go to a food truck, they got vaccines. Right? They'll give you a freaking vaccine.
Yo, Este, got that good.
That's right. Buy a taco, get vaccine free.
Because you know why, Harry? Because racism. That's the only that's it right there.
Is it that simple?
Yes, that simple.
Really?
Because racism is an insidious thing. When you because they would never treat New Zealand this way. If New Zealand said, you know what, we need some vaccines, guess what would happen? People would be having pie sales to send vaccines to New Zealand or wherever. But somehow or other, Africa is just always seen as with this handout, you know, the continent that people raped and pillaged for thousands of years. Still raping and pillaging. And so if they say they need, people are like, oh, see, that's what I mean. Africa always in need. Well, Africa's always in need because you have been robbing her blind from the dawn of time. So put these vaccines in these people's hands so that they can, because if you isolate them, Harry, and you shut down travel, then that means you can stop dealing with them and you could stop speaking about them. That's all I'm saying.
The thing is that it'll remain an incubator. So even if you don't want to help, for your own benefit, you have to help.
Yep. That's what I say, Harry.
I don't get it. And I know we're in 2021 and everything, and I like to have some, and this is going to sound weird, I like to have some hope sometimes that we're beyond the disgusting nature. Well, is it in our nature to be disgusting people?
Yes.
And not want to help?
Yes. Can I play you what this sister said on the BBC? Oh, wait. Do we have to go to commercial?
We got about 3 minutes.
Let me see if I got...
is a co-chair of the African Union's Vaccine Delivery Alliance, Dr. Ayoade Alakija. Dr. Alakija, thank you for your time. Do you feel that this was inevitable in some way?
Thank you, Philippa. It was absolutely inevitable. And may I say firstly, that had the first SARS-CoV virus, the one that was first identified in China last year, originated in Africa, it is now clear that the world would have locked us away and thrown away the key. There would have been no urgency to develop vaccines because it would have been expendable. Africa would have become known as the continent of COVID. What is going on right now is inevitable. It's as a result of the world's failure to vaccinate in an equitable, urgent and speedy manner. It is as a result of hoarding by high-income countries of the world. And quite frankly, it is unacceptable. These travel bans are based in politics and not in science. It is wrong.
I hear your anger about the immediate reaction and about the lack of action beforehand.
Absolutely. I mean, let's just hope this is a dress rehearsal that we're seeing right now with the Omicron variant and not the main event. The science, we don't know yet. What we can say about COVID, what we can say about this current variant is that the best thing that we know is that we don't know. So this is hopefully a dress rehearsal. But because until everyone is vaccinated, no one is safe. But what exactly is the global playbook on this? What are we planning to do? Are we just planning to act politically, knee-jerk reaction, so that we can satisfy those people within our countries that we're keeping those, you know, those unvaccinated Africans out? Why are the Africans unvaccinated? It's an outrage because we knew we were going to get here. We knew this is where the hoarding, the lack of IP waivers, the lack of cooperation on sharing tech and sharing know-how. We knew this is a crossroads that it was going to bring us to. It was going to bring us to a variant. It was going to bring us to more dangerous variants. Why are we acting surprised? Why are we locking away Africa when this virus is already on three continents? Nobody's locking away Belgium. Nobody is locking away Israel. Why are we locking away Africa? It is wrong, and it is also time that our African leaders stand up and they find their voice. African leadership needs to sit up in this moment. Our presidents need to wake up in this moment and realize that this is not business as usual. Their continent is at stake. Our lives are at stake, and we cannot allow the world to do this to us.
You compared the situation now to the situation when the virus came out of Wuhan, came out of China. And if there had been an instant lockdown and a travel lockdown, we'd be talking about a different pandemic. So, I you know, the instant reaction is surely something has to be done in the very short term to try to stop the spread of the virus, this variant.
Absolutely, Philippa, but something needs to be done to everywhere. Let there be, my recommendation is have a coordinated global shutdown of travel for the next month if you want, but don't single out Africa. Don't single out South Africa. Botswana actually is where the virus was first identified. But do you know what was going on with Botswana a few months ago? The Botswanan government ordered 500,000 Moderna vaccines at $29 per dose, much higher than the rest of the world paid. They did not get those vaccines because other people jumped ahead in the queue. Moderna supplied to other countries and did not supply to Botswana. And so now we have a variant. Do we know where this variant originated? No, we don't even know that yet. It could possibly be that the excellent science in South Africa has shown it up, but it could very well have come from anywhere else. This is discriminatory, it is xenophobia, and it is wrong. Let us follow the science. Let us not follow politics. Let us share the know-how. Let us allow African countries and others to produce their own vaccines so that we do not get to an Omega variant, which we cannot absolutely control.
Dr. Alakija, we have to leave it there. Really important to hear your voice and what you're saying. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Philip.
That's my favorite thing. I'm telling you, that sister brought that good. She brought that good science to them, and she was not playing. And I think she's absolutely right. And forgive me, I said Ghana. I meant Botswana when I was talking about buying the vaccine. It was Botswana, not Ghana. And she's right. You know, no one is talking about locking down Israel. Nobody's talking about locking down Belgium. Nobody's talking about, you know what I mean? They're not doing that. It's like, oh, let's lock down Africa, all of Africa, the whole damn continent. Cut it out. You know what? And she makes a point, Harry. Why can't they empower African doctors and scientists to make vaccines? Why don't they give them the recipe so that they can make the, so that they too can make the vaccine and they don't have to worry about shipping, right? Like we can, they can make the vaccine and do what they need to do. I, you know, there's gotta be some kind of global effort. Otherwise, do they know that we are all on the same planet?
I thought that was the plan, right? To not make it, make a patent out of it where people can't use it. But I guess not.
No money.
Yeah, and the thing is that what she was saying is right. That I remember an interview with Dr. Fauci that he was saying science is always about 8 to 10 weeks behind because science is about observing the changes, right? So right now, if we're observing this variant in Africa, it doesn't mean it originated in Africa, right? So because science is always, you know, about 2 months behind, because until you observe the difference, you can't study it. So the question is what she's saying is right. There's no way to know until they've actually done all the tests and everything.
And, you know, South Africa is like New York. Do you know what I mean, Harry? Like, all kinds of people go there from all over the place. Do you know what I mean? All kinds of people were there, in and out. So, I just thought she was just amazing.
And there's a lot of different countries going in to Africa. So to say it originated in Africa is kind of...
Yeah, racist.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy. Because there are so many people going in.
What? That's like, that's like we already know, Harry, like the governor of New York, she was like, I already know this variant, the Omicron variant is here. Oh, it just hasn't shown up yet. But I guarantee you, because our state is a state where the whole world converges on, comes to, visits, comes through, we just waiting for it to show up in the hospitals. That's just what it is, you know? So.
And that's the point, right? So if it would have been caught in New York first, it doesn't mean it originates in New York.
Right.
So, you know, so that's the thing that.
And you know what? And the Americans are like, we're not locking down anymore. People are adamant, Harry, that they don't want to lock down anymore.
Well, right. And then
even if it saves their lives, they're like, I can't do it.
I forgot what reporter asked Biden. So if you're putting this travel ban, why are you waiting 4 days? Why are you waiting for the holiday weekend to finish if it's an emergency?
Because people will flip the hell out.
And he said, well, that's what my advisors advised. So there's no real reason, you know.
Because you know why? Because money drives everything. Because these airlines can't take another hit if passengers, if they have to shut down the airlines, if they have to shut down transportation, if they have to shut down hotels. Do you see the ripple effect of that? So they were like, well
then stop using the word emergency. Stop doing that because...
Well, they use the word emergency. Hopefully that people will self sit their butts down. You know what I mean, like Harry?
I don't think so.
No, they won't. But I think you use the word emergency because the majority of people will be like, all right, let me take care of my family. Let me go. Let me not travel. Let me do the things for most people. But for everybody else, Harry, who was getting on these planes, trains, and whatever, it's like, damn it, I don't care. I don't believe it anyway. Yeah, well. So there's that.
And then this morning I was hearing reports that the drug companies are saying they're not confident that the current vaccine is going to be able to, you know, actually work on the Omicron.
They don't know, right?
Right. So
they don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is that when Delta started hitting, they came out and they said, oh, we're good with Delta.
Well, because I could tell from the testing that, all right, this mutation looks very much like whatever, we got it. But this, they don't know what this Omicron thing is going to do. And then what comes after that, right? Like, what's next? Like, what's the variant going to look like next?
Right, but...
And but after that's Omicron comes Pi, so...
But that's the point of, you know, actually doing something about it and not just allowing Africa to linger at 30% vaccinated.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, Harry, because I'm thinking if I'm Biden, I'm thinking I have to be invested in making sure the world gets vaccinated because the United States is where the world comes. Like, we got more people here than just about, we got more differences than just about anybody on the planet. If we are not making sure that people are vaccinated before they get here, then that makes it problematic for us. And that's what leadership should do. Leadership should say, listen, before folks get to our shores, they got to get vaccinated. How can we help with that effort? I know we sent some vaccines somewhere. Like, I know we've been doing that, but it's not enough. We got to do a little bit more. So
even that, because it's even with our neighbors, right? We have Mexico and everything that comes after Mexico.
But we wouldn't really survive. But guess who's been supplying Mexico?
China
with that janky ass version of vaccine. Right. That was like 20%.
But I'm saying, why are we letting China actually say, provide the vaccination?
I wouldn't let them provide nothing.
I mean,
I'm sorry, China.
I mean, I guess it's better. Think about it. If you're Guatemala, right? You're Guatemala. You're in the middle of everything. Everything's on fire with the virus, and the United States doesn't come in to help you, but China does. Of course, you'd take China's help.
Well, yeah, and they did. They did. They are
right.
And they know that the Chinese vaccine. Is less potent than.
So, but what's wrong with us?
Harry, if I could answer that question, Harry.
I mean, what is wrong with us?
To dream the impossible dream. To go.
Oh my God, we went into
this
the next
is hour. My quest. All right, we gotta do the. Listen, if you just tuned in to Love Babs Love Talk, it's about 10:06. On 103.5 WNHH, live streaming on New Haven Independent and across all our social media sites. So get vaccinated, people, because that's what we're talking about. Get vaccinated. There's vaccination points everywhere. Do your part. Save your community.
Well,
your family.
I'm going to reset the Facebook live stream anyway. So
yes, Andrew is next. So we could.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. Went on ruin about 9 minutes.
9 minutes. We'll be back. This is my story. Hi, this is Babs Rawls Ivy from New Haven, Connecticut. And you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM. Streaming live at newhavenindependent.org.
Hi, this is Amy Hall, director of Rick's Office. Do you want your life back? Get vaccinated. I did. Got questions about the vaccines? Did you know that there's a place you can go and get the answers and the facts about the vax? Check it out, then you decide. New Haven, get the facts facts. It's free and it's your choice. To get the vax facts or to find a vaccination center near you, visit covid19.newhavenct.gov. Again, covid19.newhaven.ct.gov. Stay safe.
Hi, I'm Emil. Want your life back?
Get vaccinated. We did.
Got questions about the vaccine? Talk to your fam. And fill your drinks.
To get back to life, get the vax. It's free and it's your choice. To get the facts or two, find a vaccine center near you. Visit bit.ly/NHVCOVIDFacts. That's bit.ly/NHVCOVIDFacts.
Hola, soy Emil. ¿Quieres recuperar tu vida?
Vacúnate.
Nosotros lo hicimos.
¿Tienes preguntas sobre la vacuna? Habla con tu familia.
Oye, usa tu máscara. Yo lo hago.
Para recuperar tu vida, vacúnate. Es gratis y es tu elección. Para obtener información sobre la vacuna o para encontrar un centro de vacuna cerca de ti, ve a bit.ly/nhvcovidfax.
My name is Troy. I am 8 years old and go to Lincoln Basket School. Every kid deserves to be safe with friends, to be safe at school, or just to play safely at recess. Now all kids 5 and up can be vaccinated. It's my turn to be safer.
This is Dr. Tamiko Jackson MacArthur from New Haven Pediatrics. Vaccinations are free and safe. For answers, visit covid19.newhavenct.gov. For your child's sake, don't kid around.
Keep me moving to the morning light.
listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org.
Woo. Good morning, beautiful people. I'm Babs Rose Ivy. This is the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk, and I have my great love, Anru, here. It's been too long, Anru. How are you?
I know. I'm doing well. Good morning.
I'm glad. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Although I did see you, I was at your house a few weeks ago for Tegan's birthday celebration. So,
yes. You know.
And that was lovely to be in the space. Very nice.
Very nice.
How are you? I know, I always love when you start with, you know, some opening ceremonial thing.
Well, shall we do it again then?
Yes, we should, because I need some grounding.
Great. Well, you know, I mean, the favorite of mine is this ancestor song where we are. It's a kind of a calling to them. This chant, it's a Yoruba chant, which is basically thanking them. You know, thanking them for the ashe that they bring to us, which is, you know, ashe as a term has a lot of meanings, right? It's similar to amen, you know, like let it be so, but it also is about kind of the power of something, the spirit of something, the authority, right? So we're kind of thanking them for really the blessings that they have passed on to us, you know, those aspects of ourselves, the affinities that we have, right, the strengths that we have. So we're thanking them for them, thanking them for that. And then we're also saying that we're using those things today, which I like this chant because it does both, right? It says thank you for this, and it's this, you know, I'm carrying this on. I'm accessing it. I'm trying to be whole and full and using all the things I got. So here's the chant. Imamama tofu washe o. Imamama tofu washe. Ima ma ma to fun wa se o. Ima ma ma to fun wa se. A se te fuan lan lo hi o. Ima ma ma to fun wa se. Ima ye ye to fun wa se o. Ima ye ye to fun wa se. Ima ye ye to fun wa se o. Ba ye ye to fu wa se a se te fu an lan lo hi o. Ba ye ye to fu wa se. Ba ye gong gong to fu wa se o. Ba ye gong gong to fu wa se. Ba ye gong gong to fu wa se o. Ba ye gong gong to fu wa se a se te fu an lan lo hi o. Bye gong gong tofu washi. Bye gong gong tofu washi. Bye gong gong tofu washi. Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you. See, I'm already grounded. I'm already grounded. So what's on your heart and mind today? I know better than to, I sort of sometimes love for you to, talk about what's on your heart and mind and in your spirit. Because sometimes you come with something already to talk about.
Well, so one of the reasons I always come with something is, you know, sometimes people ask me just like, oh, so like, what's going on, right? So I want to have something kind of in reserve. but I also... So of course, so I do have something, but I also, you know, you are also in things in life, and not, you know, people ask you things, but you know, there are also things that you may have questions around. Or I think the last time we spoke, I was joking around, you know, where you were, you know, there's been a lot of grief, a lot of loss, a lot of pain.
Yes.
Around or in my life, in your life, right? In a lot of folks' lives. And you know, the things that I'm talking about here are not, they're not just ideas of things, though I love talking about ideas of things or like approaches and perspectives, but they're practices. You know, it's how do we engage in living our lives differently than, so that we can be well.
Mm-hmm.
And I say differently because, you know, this normal culture and society here in the United States, is not really one that produces wellness just by itself, right? I mean, particularly for people of color, particularly for marginalized folks, particularly for people on the receiving end of the various systems of oppression that we're in. So it's very, very challenging to get out from under kind of a way that we are commodified, that we are dehumanized, the ways that the values and things that we're even aiming towards, right? What success means, how do we come out from under this kind of blanket of, you know, success having to look a certain way, about, you know, having power over somebody, about a certain kind of status, a certain kind of, I want my piece of the pie. And so not to get too heady around that, but the things that I'm talking about are practices around coming back to this sense of wholeness, the beauty and the value of both who we are as individuals as we live in the context of communities, of families, of neighborhoods, of cities and areas and bioregions and even states in this country, in this land, right? So all of these relationships and ways that we're in community, the human and the non-human. And so this Yoruba indigenous African perspective is about that kind of relationship, right? How do we have good relationships with all of these forces, not just with, am I getting paid and what can I buy with the things that I'm getting paid from? So coming back to this piece around practice and really like where our hearts are at. I'm going to turn this around and kind of to you, Babs, like where's your heart at and what should we orient around?
That is so interesting. That's so interesting that because I've been the last couple of days, you know, I was away with my girlfriends for Thanksgiving. And it was a wonderful time spent away.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been thinking a lot about restlessness and not having any clear new goals.
Mm.
And I'm trying to figure out, and I'm not a goal-driven person, but I do like a roadmap of sorts. And I find myself I don't want to say lost, but not quite sure of what direction, what is speaking to me? Like, where am I going? You know, I've been having these reoccurring dreams, Anru, about my car being stolen. You know, I'd come out of a place and my car is gone. You know, I leave an event, my car is gone. Like, it's literally gone. Mm. And so I finally was like, you know, let me get my dream books out. Let me look. And it really speaks to, I just don't have a direction. My car is gone because I don't have any place to drive to. Mm. So I was like, oh man, it's been a long time since I've been in this space of, well, where do I go now? Like, what do I do now?
Mm.
And who do I ask if I don't know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, dreams are really powerful, right? There are lots of types of dreams, right? So not all dreams are the message dreams, but there certainly are ones that are. You know, some of them are because like, oh yeah, I stayed up too late, or here's some anxiety that I'm feeling during the day, or I shouldn't have eaten that so late, whatever's doing the thing in my stomach.
Yes.
They're, you know, I have experienced and different frameworks really hold that dream world as also a really powerful place of messages from our own unconscious, right? These deeper places within us, but also places where other entities and forms can also come to visit us. And they feel different. And I think that's a good indicator. And so, you know, it's a powerful thing to have those kind of repeating dreams and like, oh, right. So how you thought you were going to be getting around, right? What you thought was there for you is not there. And so then what, right? Because there's still a like, oh, right, I still got to do something. You still got to live. You're still, if you walk out of a place and your car's not there, you're not like, well, I'm just going to sit right here. Like, that's not, you still got to live, get somewhere, figure out what that means. Yeah. How does it feel that both in the dream, once you realize that, and also as you're waking and thinking about that, that you don't have the, right, the ready mechanisms to get where you think you need to go. How's that feeling?
It's, you know, I think to get where I want to go is really the question that I need to ask. Cause I can get there, but I need to know what the there is. Like, where am I going? Like, literally, where am I going? And I think because I was, the last couple of years, I was so focused on these surgeries. Now that these surgeries are behind me and I've accomplished some things and I'm in a good space at work. I'm in good spaces, but I still feel a little bit of, okay, now what's next? Like, where am I going? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the next, you know, and have I lost my drive for the next? I think that's really what it's at telling me that. Have you lost your drive to drive? Not like, not literally drive, but drive to like,
right, make a
thing. What do you want to do? You know, so I'm like,
Yeah. It is a good question. It's important when we notice a thing, right? It's not neutral, right? You're not like having this neutral experience of like, huh, I just wonder, right? There's actually some discomfort.
Right.
And a little bit of judgment, right? Oh, have you lost something, right? Mm. Not just is, right? So one is like the lost car, right? Oh, I have lost something. But it doesn't mean, again, that it's over. And it might be like, all right, so, yeah, I have to, if you literally walk outside in your car, obviously the next question is like, where is that? I need to find it. But it also doesn't necessarily, it means that you then have to look differently at even how you're getting around, right? How you're going to get from point A to point B. I had years ago, there was a period of time where I was a carpenter about half the time. And then I was a drummer the other half of the time for my work. And I had this really powerful dream about, my car and this huge tornado that just was just like there are multiple tornadoes, but one was just sitting right on top of the car. And I just had this dream. I was like watching all this happen. And so in the Orisha tradition, the tornado is Oya, is an Orisha Oya. And she is very powerful and can really bring about change and transformation. And after having this dream, I was like, something big is coming up and like I could very well like lose my car. It's very different imagery, but this piece around like the kind of loss of this thing. And so I started to think about, so what literally am I going to do if I don't have a car, right? How am I literally, because this was a time like I couldn't just, I'm just going to go out and buy another car. Like that was not a reality. And I had to really think around like how I was going to be getting around places. Because, you know, as a carpenter, I was working for someone else. I still had to get to the site, right? And I'm a drummer. I got to get to where the classes are that I'm playing for. When I had that dream, and it felt powerful, it felt significant, it felt like there was this message in there. I then had to think concretely, okay, so how am I going to do this? How am I still going to live without this thing that I've just like assumed was just going to be there all the time, right? You just don't even think about it. And within a month or two, my car, like, a really big thing happened in it. I don't know, it was something, I don't even remember the thing that happened. Like, the clutch may have finally gone when I was on the highway driving somewhere, like some other big thing. I was like, I just couldn't afford to fix it. So I lost it and it just didn't have a car anymore. And so, but during that period of time was some real like, what am I going to do? And I'd actually started to kind of put some things into place so I could, it was harder. Like I had to get around Boston, public transportation. I had to get my tools somewhere first and then do things. But like I managed and kind of transformed the very concrete things around getting around that I had to do. But that dream helped in terms of like, oh, let me think about this. What do I really need to do? What do I need to let go of? Maybe I need to start transitioning out of some of this work and into something else. And, this dream world, bring it back into the waking world in very concrete ways, because it's not just a like, oh, well, I'll just figure it out when it happens. Like you can do that. But there's also like, you're being given some messages.
Yes.
So it's warranted to then say, all right, so how do I want to integrate that? What is the place that's living with me in this waking world? On how do I still get where I need to go? Is there still getting where I need? What does it mean to just be without the thing? Can I sit with that for a little bit? Oh, I know. It's like if it's like Toad. You're like, okay, so I know it's there. I don't need to go right now, and I can kind of do some other things, but I still need to get it right. That's a different scenario than like, oh my God, was it stolen? And like, I don't know. So there's certainly some ways of looking at how to kind of assess what's happening. But there's also a piece of like, what do I need to maybe not worry about, right? Maybe my, loved one came by and had to get the car and go somewhere with it. Just didn't tell me. And, or maybe like I actually thought it was there and it wasn't. And I actually put it somewhere else. Like the goneness, we don't know what the goneness is. This is not where it was supposed to be or where you thought it was going to be. And there's always a danger in another person interpreting another person's dreams, because there's
I find it quite insightful, because sometimes you could hear things that you don't hear, you don't get to see. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just in somebody else's eyes on a thing, and you can go, oh, okay, all right, I could look at that now. I just thought it was just odd and telling.
Well, that's what I was asking. Like, how is that sitting with you? Right. Cause that actually is part of it also, right? There's the thing, but then it's like, how do you sit with that notion of you don't have the next destination actually yet?
I think that's it. Exactly.
How does that feel? And so very often we can jump to, I need to figure out the destination instead of, let me pay attention to what it actually feels like without that kind of drive. And is there a Babs, which actually is okay without the drive?
Right? Oh, never thought of that.
The things that need surgery, right? The things that need adjusting. Oh, so I'm all right now. Oh, now, ooh, I don't really know what that's like to be all right.
Yeah, I think that's way more true than I even realized. Because, I think I've lived in crises for so much of my life that when there is no crisis that is directly in my, that doesn't directly belong to me, I'm like, hold up. I'm like, okay, what I should be doing something.
Yeah. you gotta be in your life differently.
Yeah,
I see a face there with that. I don't want to do that.
That's no, not I don't. Personal. I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it or not. I've never been dealt this hand, so this is a new hand. To really contemplate, not being pushed to something, not being forced to something, not having to make a decision because it affects so many other things. Like I literally don't have that. Right.
So it's a good, it's a really powerful opportunity to say, oh, so what do I need? If this is a moment that's like my moment, can I connect with actually, oh, what do I need? Where do I want to go? Where, how do I want to be? Not all the things I have to do, because this culture is very good at aiming you at all the things that need to be done and make you feel bad if you're not doing them all the time and for other people and all the lists of things.
Yeah.
Forget, and not to be trite or kind of cute about it, like there's the human being, right, versus the human doing. And so what is it like to really be in that? I'm not immediately rushing off to do a thing. Jump running after people to find out what they need because, like, I don't know what to do with myself. Yeah.
Let yeah.
Soak in that.
Mm. It is an odd feeling to, yeah. And I immediately woke up thinking, and I woke up this morning, I was like, you know, I need some new goals. Like, I just thought that's what I need. I need some new goals to run after.
Mm.
But now I'm talking to you and I'm like, wait a minute. Seriously? Do you really?
You need things to run after. Yeah. Hmm.
Really? Yeah. Why? Why are you doing that?
The pause that you're in is important to, like, engage with it because it's what's happening.
Mm.
Right? So this is actually already happening. And so can you be with what's happening? Doesn't mean you, like, I'm just going to, like, be a blob and just, like.
No, because I still have commitments and other things. Yeah, like, my life is still going on. Yes.
But you don't necessarily have to create a new thing to go running after.
Yeah. I think that was my first. Seriously. That was my first thought. Like, I got up this morning thinking, I'm going to write some goals down because I'm sure this is what this is. I don't have anything to. I mean, I'm doing the things that I want to be doing, but there's some more that I should be doing.
Shoulds. Mm.
You know, or I could be doing, but mostly should.
Mm-hmm.
It is a should. Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know what? I'll write some more goals down. I immediately went there.
Well, we are well-trained to do that, Baz. And I include myself in that because it is very real. You know, I, right, as you know, I've closed my therapy practice in June, and I'm really having to be, I'm, you know, being in my life differently. It doesn't mean, like, oh, now there's nothing, right? Because there's always things to do, right?
Yes.
But can I be in my life? Because if I can be in this pause differently, then I'm actually open to also what life has to say to me and to offer to me and to accompany me with, and I get to accompany life with it in a different way. Versus, like, this is what I'm doing, and I'm running along the mill, and I got this other. Here's the rat race and the thing, and I should be doing this, and I got to serve this, and this is for the other people. And, da, 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 da. And, like, you know, we are also here. Like, we're here, alive, right now. And as we've experienced, if you and I and many people have experienced, you know, the loss of loved ones and really tragic things that have happened or suffering that continues to happen. And so with this opportunity to be in this life, let's not waste it.
Yeah.
And if
we
can't even pause to, like, listen and to feel into what is also happening right now, because we're just running so fast, if we can't do that, then we're also missing what is also here in this life.
Yeah.
And it's fragile. And it's precious, and it's a mystery. Like, we don't have it figured out, and that viewpoint is not readily cultivated in this culture in the United States, and is much more honed into that, you know, what success is, right? I got to hit these goals. This is my strategy. This is my, you know, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, life plan. Got to hit. This is how I'm going to do the things. And it's not to diminish goals and moving towards things. But there's a way that it's just this relentlessness. And if we can't look up from where we're going and look around, then we're also really disconnected from all the things that are around us? And how can we be in good relationship with ourselves and our those people and beings closest to us, right, in our community? How can we be in harmony if we're just running and we're not even letting ourselves pause and breathe and look around at who we're here with? Oh, you're also here with yourself, right? We're here with ourselves. Are we even listening to what we need? Oh, no, because we're running so much. and it takes some real intention and again, real practice to be connected to things that are larger than that, right? That are, because the messages of run and where's your goals is loud, right? That's a loud message. And these other things are very soft and subtle, right? To turn inwards and be like, what do I need this morning? Actually, I need a cup of tea. That's what I need this morning. I don't need to do the list first. I need to like wake up. Let me just arrive out of this dream thing that's trying to tell me something. Oh, can I like sit with what it's like to even hold that message of that dream? Can I sit with the fragility of this life? Wow, I woke up and like, okay, I'm really here. And like this person who I love is not here in body, right? They're physically not here anymore. So my relationship with them now is different. And how do I continue on with this different relationship with them? Oh, this, you know, horrific thing happened over there. Oh, ooh, can I sit with that? Or like, you know, I've had enough of the horrific things. I need to like smell the roses, so to speak, right? I need to look outside at the fall. I need to allow some contentment just at being like, okay, I'm in this moment, I'm good enough. Right? Maybe there's a pause in before all the people start calling me and knocking on my door and tugging at my sleeve. Can I just allow myself that pause to remember that I'm also here? And my people want me to be here. And my ancestors want me to be here. The people who love me want me to be here.
Okay.
So we also want that. Without having to think that we need to have it all figured out.
I like that thinking. Like, and you know, I've been thinking a lot about my spiritual direction training and spiritual direction practice, and my spiritual direction practice with other people. I haven't had a client in a very long time, and I get a call from somebody who would like me to come back into having a practice. And I think that's where all of this started, because it just startled me to consider that again. Mm. And you know, I had no reason not to. I just, you know, like anything, you just sort of get busy doing other things. Mm-hmm. But it's got me thinking about it in a real sort of way, a peaceful sort of way. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need to examine that a little closer, a little further. There's something to that, I think. You know.
And how is it? Is your practice serving you?
I think it used to.
So and my question was in the present. Is it?
I think if I do it, it serves me. But I don't know, for a lot of reasons, I just sort of stepped away from it. But, you know, at my core, I like holiness and sacredness being. And I feel like, and I don't think I'm not that. I just think I'm not spending any time with that. So,
yes. So I wonder, because we're talking about like practice, not just ideas of it, right? And you know, you can, it's like you can fill your tank, car tank, and you can run for a long time.
Yeah.
And then if you're not replenishing it, you're going to stop. That's just
the way it goes. I would be on the side of the road.
Be on the side of the road, right?
Waiting for help.
Or, you know, you thought you parked in the legal spot, weren't paying attention, come out, like, what's gone? There's something I wasn't paying attention to. So these practices, they're for you, right? They're for me. They're for each of us. And I think that, I know for myself, there can be such a habit and a tendency to immediately turn it into, how am I doing this for others? And then we don't stay a long time in the like, oh, right, there's also for me. These practices, right? This connection to the divine, to my ancestors and all these beings, like, not to the exclusion of, but can I even do it as much as? And for many people, and even for myself, like, that would seem insane. Like, wait, like, pay as much attention to, like, my own actual practice, to how I'm supporting others in their practice, right? My own wellness is like other people's wellness, right? My own liberation, like their liberation. And I'm finding in this time that I'm in, that's very much a part of what is really important for me, is a deepening of my own spiritual practice. So what are the ways that the divine and my ancestors are in relationship to me now, and soak that up, versus like, oh yeah, I kind of did that before. You know, when I was younger, I used to sit and I used to pray for all this time and find and do my practice and be all the things. And then, like, you know, life happens and kids and work and responsibility. And like, but I'm still kind of running off of all that intensity. And then it kind of peters out. And then it's like, well, oh, wait a minute. What does it mean now? What does it mean now to be connected with these forces and beings and these notions of life and existence, not as a concept and not as like a maintenance practice, but as like a deepening. What is there deepening now? And then from that place, maybe something will come that's for other people. Maybe not. Maybe it's just as important for us to really be here in this whole place as possible, whether it's around the same kind of priority of, you know, service and sacrifice to others, right? Imagine creating systems and ways of being that fostered all of our wellness, right? Versus like, well, I got a little bit more, so now I got to go give and transfer and pull the other people out, right? And,
you know, yeah,
help is, and connection and those relationships of wellness are important. But there's also a way that a dysfunction of, my purpose is to help you, is to pull you out of a thing. And like, I don't want someone coming at me saying like, I know what you need. You need to do this. So why do I think that I should just be able to do that to someone else? And just, I think in these pauses, it's a good time to, what is this actual pause? What is the rest stop? Not let me hit the rest stop and run around some more. Like, what, can I rest?
Yes.
Can I see what I need?
Yeah. I think that's where I turn my attention. Because it didn't occur to me. See what you need. It did not occur to me. I immediately went to, oh, I need some list. I need a list. I
do something.
I have to do things. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the universe telling me, what do you need? What do you, and really think about, like, get in that. Get in it. And it's been a long time since I've been contemplative with that, you know.
Well, you deserve it, Max.
I didn't even think about deserving it. Like, that doesn't even register either. I was like,
that's why I'm saying it out loud.
Yes.
as someone outside of your head, saying, you deserve that.
Like, girl, stop doing stuff. Just go ahead and sit and be discerning and contemplative and see what you need, you know.
Yeah.
Which is a luxury on a lot of levels. And maybe it's, no. I think, you know, Anru, I've been reading you know, the history of Black folks in this country, you know, from the 1600s. And there was no real opportunity to like, you could never really rest. I mean, he was always working or running or looking out or concerned about. I mean, there was no real rest. Although people took rest where they could, there is no real rest. And my doctor said something to me the other day. He was like, yeah, blood pressure is really, really good. He's like, because for Black people, their blood pressure is never, ever good. It's never, ever good. And he's like, because it's a generational, it's a handing down of generational trauma. And my doctor's Indian. My cardiologist is Indian. So he's like, I see this in Black people all the time. There's no real rest. And I thought, and it was in that moment, it was as if God was talking to me. Because we've never had those kinds of conversations. Like, I didn't even know he knew anything about Black people. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Not that profoundly to say, you know, I was just like.
What I see, what can be such a challenge is, you know, because a lot of folks in their lives can't rest, right? There's so many things coming at them all the time. But I also hold out that we've also internalized, accepted as a part of our culture, right? With family, even you, how we're framed, Black folks, people of color, people trying to come out of such oppression. It's not around even the notion of rest, but it's that notion that, like, what we need matters and there's any space for it. And so we automatically adopt this notion of, like, it just doesn't. And so we then internalize that message that's been passed on. There's just no opportunity, right? You just got to keep going. And that's where the value is. Now, even as I say that, our people, just like other people who have been through such systemic oppression in this country, in the midst of that, also found meaning and purpose, love and joy, even in circumstances which did not allow the kind of wellness that we have now. Like, we have some opportunities now, but because of this inheritance, it is very difficult for us to even see that.
Yeah.
See that there is
a good point
of pause, that there is a place of, it doesn't have to be like the rest, like, I'm just going to do nothing and nothing matters. And I'm just going to think about me. No, it's, oh, in this moment, can I soak in something that's connected to life? And it requires, like, to have even that understanding, you know, you can still be, you know, it doesn't mean that suffering is over, but it means that, do you have a practice? Do you have a holding and a connection to something that tells you there is more? And the more you engage in that practice, even as, I mean, I'm still living in this United States of America, right? Systems are still at play. And I'm not as kind of under the boot of internalizing their message of me. You know, I still have to deal with these systems. I have to deal with the reality of, how am I going to be seen and not seen, or experienced and not experienced when I go to the post office, or whether I go to a store, or whether I have to deal with some bureaucracy or the police or any system, right? Or just people on the street. And I also get to understand that I'm also connected to something that is greater than those things, than those things that have been constructed. These things around poverty, like, these are, there's a construct that, like, this culture is engaging in a certain way. Even these notions of race, right? It's life and death, and it is constructed by this culture to say, like, you are of this race and you are of that race, and these races are better and these races are less than. And I'm in that, and I've internalized a lot of that, but it's also important to remember that, like, oh, right, I'm also a person and I come from people, and there's value in that just because, not because I have to prove, and if I achieve this, then it means I'm a good person, or then I'm seen, and if I'm, you know, if I get this degree, or if I get this job title, or if I get this amount of money, or if I have this car or this thing that I can own, that gives me value. No, that's buying into this notion that has even said, you are actually less than. You're coming from oppressed people, enslaved people. You're coming from these, you know, heathens, and, you know, in a negative way, these, like, you know, voodoo people in the dark continent and all these, all the things. And it's important to understand, like, that's their narrative. And I actually don't need to internalize that. And I can find value in just being, in just walking the earth. Because my people have done a whole lot to get me to be able to be here right now. So and I'm going to find out what this is.
I love it. Well, thank you for the conversation today. Because I know Harry's going to throw me off this air in a minute, because it's another show right behind mine. But thank you so much, Anru. It's always so illuminating to talk to you. And I know you're coming back. We got to get another date. So you can come back so we can do more of these kinds of conversations. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is lovely to see you and hear you.
You too.
All right, Harry. I know you're chomping at the bit there. Look, you got the music queued up.
Come on, roll out.
Hi, this is Babs Rawls Ivy from New Haven, Connecticut. And you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM. Streaming live at newhavenindependent.org. Yeah.